Amen. Now let us turn in our Bibles today for a few moments here to the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And last Lord's Day we were thinking about Jeremiah, this man who served the Lord in difficult times. And of course there never is a time that we would call easy for to serve the Lord. It's always a battle, and there's always a struggle, a fight at times. But the Lord encouraged Jeremiah, for he gave to Jeremiah his word, his precious truth, and that word can never, never fail. He reminded Jeremiah, of course, also. He reminded him of the past. In fact, he reminded him of eternity. Here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and the verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So he's reminding Jeremiah that from all eternity, he had thought upon him. And he had sanctified him and set him apart to be a prophet and to be a preacher. And of course, that applies to ourselves also. As we remarked there in Ephesians chapter 1, every believer, every child of God has been chosen from before the foundations of the world. We have been called and chosen for to serve the Lord and to be holy and for to live for him in this awful age. And there's something we can all do for the Lord. There's a work we can do as well. We have been chosen for that. And so there's the assurance that we have from the Lord. But we're thinking about the message here that Jeremiah had to deliver to the people. And that was no easy matter. This message that God put into his very lips and into his very mouth. The message he had to deliver, of course, was a difficult message. It wasn't easy at all. And of course, the multitudes, as we know, in the land at this time in Judah, the multitudes of the people, they were not waiting to welcome the message that the prophet had. It's not as if they're all standing by, multitudes of people everywhere, with open arms, waiting for what this man has to say, because we know that they're in opposition against him. And in fact, their hearts are in opposition against the Almighty. So when Jeremiah comes on the scene, this man is resented, and his message is resented. And there's no welcome for him, and there's no welcome for the word that he brings to the people here. So how dangerous it was. We get an idea here from the verse 18. Look at the opposition here that was against him. He says, for behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city. Now there is the encouragement from the prophet. And an iron pillar and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings. The kings are against him. The kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests, and against the people of the land. The princes, the priests, the people, the kings. All are against this man. So how difficult it was going to be for to deliver the word of the Lord. So how do we think this man Jeremiah is going to fare? How far will he get? Will he, as we say very often, will he fall at the first hurdle? Will he soon grow faint and just go back again, come to nothing? How is this man going to fare against all this opposition? But we have to ask ourselves another question, brethren. No matter how difficult the days are and the message that we have for to deliver. And the question is simply this: who is going to prevail against the Almighty? We have to look beyond ourselves, don't we? Who is going to prevail against God and against the word of the Lord? You see, everything is at his disposal, isn't it? Everything is at his disposal. And here we have it here in the verse 15. As we think of the nations, all of these nations and all of this people and all of these enemies. And note carefully what it says in the verse 15. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. Why, what a picture, what a scene we have here. All of these nations, and of course, they're all at the Lord's disposal, aren't they? He can call them. And it reminds us all today when we think of all the opposition, when we think of all the nations, and everything that is set against the gospel and the word of God. Yet we have to remember this, that whether it be a man or whether it be a nation, everything, all are at the Lord's disposal. And he is over all the nations of the earth, all of these kingdoms. And these people are no friends of Israel, and they're no friends of Judah at all. But God is going to use them as instruments of chastening here upon the land. And in the verse 18 we read, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar." So here he has this message, a difficult message, and great opposition against him. But Jeremiah is going to prevail. The word of God is going to prevail. And though there are many difficult days now that lie before him, yet the Lord is going to be triumphant. And his prophet here is going to be blessed of the Lord. And you know, I feel as I was thinking of this, brethren, we can spend an awful lot of time at looking at the opposition, and a great deal of time looking at all the problems and the difficulties. But there's always been problems there for the Church of Christ. When we go back through the years, back through the centuries, and I just mentioned in passing here last Sunday morning, we were thinking about the Reformation in France and all that the people of God had to endure there. The terrible times of persecution, the awful times of misery. Men and women and young people burnt at the stake. There's always been difficult times. And yes, we can spend a great deal of time at looking at all that is against us. But, you know, we need sometimes, and we need at all times, not just to keep our eyes upon the opposition, but brethren, we need to look at God. We need to think about the Lord. We need to think of what God is doing. And we need to think about the might and the power of the Almighty. And to think that everything, every nation, all the opposition, everything is under his control. And as one of the early church fathers said, he said, if anything he says runs or works at random, then he says everything is left to chance. Oh, what we need very often and continually, as I say, not to be thinking so much about the opposition, but we need to be looking on to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, he would be persecuted, he would be arrested, he would be imprisoned. His own people would persecute him and want to kill him many, many a time. But yet the Lord said he would prevail. Now the first thing we're thinking of here is we think about the message here. The Lord here gave Jeremiah promises to prepare him for his mission. We have them here in verses 11 and 12. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." The almond tree. And of course, God would fulfill his word. He will hasten his word. That literally means he's watching over his word to fulfill it. Oh, let us be certain about this. May the Lord drive from our minds any thoughts of doubts or fear. God's word is a mighty word, and not one word will fall to the ground. His word is going to be performed, and the word of the Lord is sure. And it is certain. And nothing is going to hinder that word. It's not going to return unto him void. And we need to keep that in mind, don't we? Now this tree here, the almond tree, as we know, of course, it was the tree that blossomed early. It blossomed in early January. While all the other trees around, of course, were lying dead and dormant, this was the first to blossom. And it was an indication, of course, that spring was on the way. The almond tree. And he says here to Jeremiah, he says, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Spring is coming. And of course, it's also called the wakeful tree. It's the first to awake in the spring. It's the first for to shoot, as it were. And it's an indication here of what God is going to do. And it reminds us here, of course, we've read in verse 12, this tree, the first to blossom, this wakeful tree, that the Lord is ever awake and watchful over his own word to fulfill it. We read that there in the verse 12. He says, "I will hasten my word to perform it." Is anybody going to frustrate God in his plans and purposes here? Now we might think to ourselves today, well, if all of this is taking this course, would that not make us careless? Everything down to faith, as it were. What's the use in praying? What's the use in working or laboring for the Lord? Mob, this should give us more zeal than ever. And assurance and confidence in what God is going to do. He is watchful over his word to fulfill it. He says, "I will hasten my words to perform it." And this is the word that God has given to us, isn't it? It's the word we go out with. It's the word we preach. It's the word we use on outreach and missions. And praise God, it has not lost any of its ancient power. So the prophet here, he's sent here for to warn the people. And for to tell them, of course, it speaks as well of judgment coming. It is certain. He's saying to Jeremiah, look at this almond tree. He says, "I'm going to hasten my judgment. I'm watching over it. And the enemies will come to the gate in time, and they will not fail." And he's sent here for to alert the people about this fact. And God here speaks and gives warning of what he's going to do. And every time the prophet looked at the tree and reminded the people, here was a wake-up call for Judah. Warnings. But we could think about this today, couldn't we? We could think about this today on a personal level also. How many warnings, dear friend, has God given to you? How many warnings has God given to you? Perhaps you look back over the years, friends that you have been acquainted with and you've gone around with, and suddenly perhaps they have been cut off short through illness perhaps, or what we would call an accident or whatever. Ones that you have known very well. And God has spoken to you, and the Lord has spared you. Am I speaking to someone today, and you have recovered from some serious illness? You can look back through the years, and you have been that close to losing your life, whether on the road or whatever it might be. But God has been gracious, and you're here today, in health and strength, and God has preserved your life. But perhaps as yet, you're not converted or saved. And that warning has been given time and time again. And how many warnings did this prophet here bring to the people of Judah? But all fell to the ground. It all came to nothing. But the Lord says, "I'm watching over my word, and I'm going to hasten that word." We note here, of course, too, that the faithful pastor is not to be ashamed of the message. not to be ashamed of the message, or not to hesitate or be hesitant in any way, or to hold back or to try and trim it down, because we have this sure foundation. God is watching over his word, and he gives the word to every minister, in fact, every one of us to witness. And he says it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to accomplish that purpose for which I send it. And of course, God's people, how does that apply to us today? We as the Lord's people will not be ashamed at the last. Are we tempted sometimes for to think, you know, what's the use? We labor and we work and we go out with the word, and people laugh and they scoff and they ridicule us and we're mocked at times. But you see, we can say this, that God's people, the Lord's people, will never be ashamed of his word. We have some great passage there. Well, many great passages there in that great psalm. If we turn to it for a moment, in Psalm 119, and we're just looking at a couple of verses. This psalm, of course, has much to say about the word. But Psalm 119 and the verse 49, he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Don't forget the word. Don't forget the promises. Has God given you a promise? Maybe many years ago. And that promise at the time was a great help to you. It was a great encouragement. It was the cause of lifting you up and giving you, as it were, a new lease of life. God is going to hasten his word. He's watching over it. Don't forget the promises of God. Psalm 119, the verse 49. "Upon which thou hast caused me to hope." In other words, the psalmist is saying, we're not going to be ashamed or let down. We're not going to be let down. Those who hope in his word and who love it are not going to be let down or made to look fools at the end. And in the verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Isn't that wonderful? In a world that's so sophisticated and advanced, and yet the humblest, dear Christian who has the word of God and who meditates upon it and who loves it. We may not be brilliant in a whole lot of things or able to explain rocket science or how all these things work. At least I can't anyway. I can't even work the laptop. But what difference? We have the word of the Lord. We have the word of God. And we have more understanding than all our teachers. And then we have it in the verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So there we have this message. The Lord gave Jeremiah this message and this great promise for his mission. He says, don't be afraid for to go out and proclaim it. Though they'll put you in prison and you'll be opposed on every hand, I'm watching over this word that I have put into your mouth. And he says, I am going to hasten the word. Make sure that it's fulfilled. And he says not only that, but he says, I'm going to call all these families, as he calls them, of the kingdoms of the north. God has power to do that, and I'm going to bring them down. Oh, what a sure foundation the people of God have. Then we have the boiling pot in the verses 13 to 16. "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north." God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming upon the people. Now we might have thought to ourselves, yes, God's wrath is coming all right, and they're going to come to the very gates here of the city of Jerusalem. We would have thought to ourselves that the people would have become anxious. and would have said to themselves, well, we better do something about it. And while there is time, we had better seek the help of the Almighty God and call upon the Lord. Well, what does the people do? Well, we find in the chapter 2 and the verses 18 exactly what they do. And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? You see, they turn to Egypt and they turn to Assyria for help. And they failed to trust in the Lord for help and for grace and for power. It's amazing, isn't it, that they would do that? This covenant-keeping people. And they had so many good prophets even in the past. And they have the word of God. But they turn to Egypt. They turn to Egypt. And they fail to look to the Lord, the one who is all wise and who upholds us by his grace and gives us help in time of trouble. And dear soul today, when in time of trouble, let us first of all go to the Lord. Yes, thank God, it's good to have friends. It's good to have friends that we can ask advice and that we can have a word with them, we can talk to them and ask their opinion. But you know, dear Christian, our first call, as it were, should be to the Lord. Seek him before friends. Go straight to him. This seething pot reminded the people that wrath is coming. And the Lord is preparing Babylon in the north. You know, when Jeremiah, as we know, when Jeremiah began his ministry, Assyria was the dominant power. Not Babylon. Assyria, of course, was defeated and Egypt was crippled. And I'm sure that people, undoubtedly, they thought to themselves, this fellow Jeremiah, what kind of a nutcase is this fellow? He's talking about Babylon coming from the north. And when he commenced to preach, it was Assyria was the great empire. But the Lord says it's going to come from the north. And the people must have wondered to themselves. And we read that, of course, in the chapter. We'll not look at it now in chapter 39, verses 1 and 2. Babylon. Oh, you see, the government of God. As I mentioned there before, that saying of old Augustine, one of the early church fathers, if anything is left to chance, then the world moves at random. You see, God has his hand upon every event. He has his hand upon every event. And oh, how that should teach us, every one of us, and incline us for to put our whole hearts and trust in the Almighty. He is the all-wise God, isn't he? They're expecting Assyria. But the Lord says, no, they're going to be defeated. And Egypt is going to be crippled. And it's Babylon is going to come. And of course, he knows the very beginning to the very end of things. Oh, how safe it is for to put our whole hearts and our whole trust in the Lord. Dear soul, today I want to ask you, have you put your trust in him for salvation? Is your soul in his hand today? The hand of the Savior. And you know that great verse, don't we, in John 17, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't it good to be in the hand of the Lord? Are you resting in him for salvation today? And of course, we are reminded as well, every one of us, we do not know what we'll have to face in the future. We don't know what we're going to have to face from day to day. We all of us, don't we? We like the sailing to be very smooth, like a smooth lake, no ripple on the water. Brethren, we don't know. We don't know what warfare we'll have to face. We don't know what trials and upsets and everything else and struggles. Peter reminds us that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. But oh, how good it is to know that God presides over the lives of his people, and that we're in the hand of the Lord, and that he cares for us. He is our great high priest, isn't he? The one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But then our time has gone here almost. The sin, of course, that he highlights here in verse 16. And the sin that he highlights here is idolatry. The forsaking of God and the worshipping of idols. And there was a high price to be paid for that. The false prophets, brethren, at this time in the land, they flourished. Even the old priests there in Anatoth, they all flourished. No opposition against them. And everybody was listening to the false prophets who said, peace, peace. And don't listen to Jeremiah. These things are not going to happen at all. These things are not going to happen. They flourished in a ministry that was shallow and was popular. And it's just like that in our age, in this old ecumenical dark age. And it's the men who have nothing to say and don't want to say anything are popular. Everybody thinks they're great and wonderful. How awful. But God here will protect his servant. And with this, we wind up. He says to Jeremiah, thou therefore gird up the loins, thy loins, and arise and speak unto them. Speak all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee. The girding up of the loins, of course, we know what that means. Back in Bible times, in order for a man to run or to work, he had to take those loose garments and tie a belt around. It was all right to have the cloak or the garments loose if he was just walking down the street or walking down the road. But when he went out to work in the field, or if he had to run, he had to take the belt, the girdle, tie up, bind up all those loose garments. And he had to get ready for action. Get ready for action. He's going to face a difficult time. Did this affect his mind? Now, we read something there in Peter. We read there in 1 Peter chapter 1, the verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Pull, it literally means, we could say, just like the man putting on the belt and the loose garments, pull your mind together. Pull your mind together. You know, brethren, this is an awful day, and it can happen to any of us. This is an awful day of depression. Can a child of God get depressed and down in the dumps? Of course they can. Don't think any Christian is exempt from that. Our minds. How important is the mind? And our minds are being assailed continually. Gird up the loins of your mind. And he's saying to Jeremiah, gird up your mind. Pull your mind together. And Peter is referring to it there, of course, in the context of the Lord's return. What's our minds like today? Minds can get distracted, get troubled. And we can get down, get to the place where we're depressed. And what's the cure for it? Does the scripture have a cure for the mind? Gird up the loins of your mind. Keep your eye upon the Lord, his coming again. And praise God, there is grace for us. There is provision to help us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank God we can bring our minds to the Lord. And if we do, he'll set things in order for us and give us help. And the Lord here knows Jeremiah is going to face terrible problems. He says, gird up your loins, he said. Gird up your loins. May the Lord help us to keep focused on the word, on the promises, on the things of God, on the gospel. upon our Savior. Now let's sing together.